with such an anticipation of God's got something up his sleeve this morning. I really do feel that. I still don't know what that is. I'll be honest. I came this morning, this week I prepared a message. I have a message all polished and groomed up. And, you know, if anything's going to mess something up, it's going to be technology. And so usually it's a situation when I come to a church, it's me getting my stuff onto your system to be able to run it through the PowerPoint. Today it's actually kind of gotten reversed because of the way I saved something. It didn't go to my device. So I'm actually going to be preaching from your slide. So you're going to get to see it as I see it, and we're going to see how this goes. That's what I'm going to be looking for. If I can get it up there sometime soon, it'll be great. All right. No, not the video. Let's hold the video to the end. There's another one. Yeah, there's a PowerPoint. Pay no attention to the screen. That's for later. Well, as we're starting up, let me introduce myself. My name's Tim Eckert. I've been this church. I think this is actually my fourth or fifth service. I think last time I had the great opportunity coming and sharing with you guys a couple different times. How many of you guys were come to my house in Des Moines and help fix up my house there? In a couple of you guys? Okay, well, anyway, we have the great blessing of that just selling and finally being free of that burden. And we praise God for that, and we thank you guys. And we have a clicker. Awesome. Okay, great. So this is my beautiful family. This is my wife, Doris, and my three kids, TJ, Ariana, and Gracie. Unfortunately, they were not able to come today because of schooling and some other commitments. They were not able to attend. But we have always, I mentioned to Doris, she never connected, when I said First Pentecostal and Atelma, what church that was. You know, we see a lot of different churches, and I said, yeah, you know, Pastor Richard said that he shared that we were coming, people that had come and worked on our house was excited. She goes, oh, it's that church. Because I love that church. And so she's really sad she wasn't able to come today. So, we are excited, and we want to come and say thank you. Your church has been faithful and supporting us the first time we came, Pastor Edgerly was the pastor here. I mean, it was before Pastor was even here. It was the first time I came. You guys have been faithful to us, and we thank you. And I say this in all sincerity. It is because of you guys and churches like you that we are able to go and do what we do. And if it wasn't for people like you, you know, you guys do not give us our largest support, but you know what? It isn't the largest support that gets us there. It's everybody's support. All come together. And I, from the deepest bottom of my heart, I say thank you. What we've been able to do in the last year has been rough. You know, I understand there's a number of farmers here. You guys understand the preparatory work that takes before, you know, planting a field, and many of you guys plant fields that's been planted year after year after year, but some of you guys have had virgin fields that have never been planted. You know what it's like going and clear out trees and clear out rocks and then start tilling the ground. And I feel like this last term, that was us. We moved to Palopo. Give you an idea where Palopo is. It's on the island of Sulawesi, but just to kind of give you an idea. Man, I didn't even realize you had a balcony up there. That's cool. Sorry about that. Give you an idea of Palopo. Where we live, it takes us 8 hours to get to McDonald's. That gives you an idea of where we live. We are kind of out in the middle of nowhere. We've never had a missionary from the Assemblies of God live on the southern half of the island of Sulawesi. In fact, we are the first missionary ever to live in the city that we're living in Palopo. It's so cool, but you know what? It comes with its complications. You know, we expected we'd start scattering seeds. That's what we were kind of expecting. No, we weren't ready to sow yet. We had to go in and we had to start building relationships, and we had to start cultivating the ground and preparing the ground. And we are excited as we started seeing the opportunity to start planting seeds come about, and then we have to come back and re-raise our funds. But you know what? We're excited for the next term and what God has for that. But that is all because of churches like you guys who have partnered with us and come with us. There's an African proverb says, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, take someone with you. And we're thankful that we take you guys with us so that we can go far. We're not just going fast. So let me share some things real quick. How many of you guys have a hand phone, have a cell phone? If you pull that out, this is the only time in church. Pull out your cell phone right now. Okay, everybody pull out your cell phone. All right. We have an opportunity, and we're trying to build a database so that we can keep in touch with you. Up here, you're going to see this text to connect. It's a new thing. We just got started. We're hoping to be able to keep people in the loop and updated. If you would like to be a part of that, all you have to do is go in. Type a text. Now, some of you guys understand that may be the most advanced you can possibly go, but go ahead and go into your text, and then on where you're sending it to, type in the 95577, and then in the like text part, type in Eckert Endo, and then send that, and that's going to guide you through a couple steps, and that will populate our database so that when we are in Indonesia and say I'm going into an area and I can send out through my computer a thing to this database, it will then populate your text. You'll get text messages say, please pray for us. I'm getting ready to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with this man, and you'll be able to real time pray for us and what's going on. Now, I apologize if your phone's going off at like 2 in the morning because of time difference, but that's the opportunity. So if you'd like to be a part of that, I encourage you, please, you know, I give you freedom for the next 5 minutes to get that set up while I'm talking here, but try to listen at the same time. All right. So Eckert Endo is the word you want to text to the number 95577. And so we are just populating the database, and it's just getting up and going. So exciting times. Now, I understand you guys combined two services today. Is that correct? So that means I get to preach twice as long? No, I'm just kidding. Don't worry. I'm hungry. So, and I hear you guys got a potluck or something ready. So you ain't got to fear that. Indonesia is made up of over 17,000 islands. In fact, 17,508 is the number they give. I don't know who had the responsibility of counting those, but 17,508 islands. It's the world's largest archipelago. If you don't know what an archipelago is, it means a group of islands. So there you go. Indonesia, man, that slide got jumbled. Indonesia has over 240 million people. It is the world's fourth largest population, meaning China, India, and the United States are the only country that has a greater population than Indonesia. And yet, as far as Assembly of God missionaries, we only have 17 units going to the world's fourth largest population. And we know so little about the world's fourth largest population. 240 million people. Indonesia has the world's largest Muslim population with over 212 million people. Now, let me put that in perspective for you. 212 million is a number most of us really can't grasp. I mean, that's such a large number. Let me kind of put that in perspective. When you think of Islam, where do you normally think of? 1040 window, the Middle East. Usually we think the Middle East, Iraq, Iran, Saudi Arabia, those countries in the Middle East. Where, in fact, if you were to take all those countries in the Middle East, every one of those countries, add up their entire population, whether Christian, Muslim, or Jew, add up their entire population, it would not reach 212 million. It means there are more Muslims in Indonesia than the entire population of the Middle East. It is a powerhouse for the Muslim community. There we go. Indonesia has the Indonesia has the world's second most unreached people groups. Unreached people group, you might ask, what's that? It's actually a tribe or nation that has less than 2% of its population is Christian. And I told you, you know, technology is going to mess me up because I just realized I'm going off my wife's PowerPoint, so now I've got a new sermon here. It's just good. It's like, you know, you ever read those when you were a kid, those choose your own adventure books? That's what we have today. We're going to see the PowerPoint's going to choose our adventure today. So here we go. All right. But Indonesia is interesting. Whenever you take they have a word in Indonesian for the unreached people group. It's suku terabaikan, which when literally translated, is translated as neglected people group, which for me makes quite a more impact. Unreached kind of gives us an implication that it hasn't been done yet. Nobody's done it yet. We're neglected, says, you know what, we've failed to do it. We failed to do it. We failed to go, and we failed to tell them about Jesus. Indonesia, like I said, is second in the world for the number of neglected people groups. There's over 200 neglected people groups in Indonesia. The southern half of the island of Sulawesi, where we are ministering, has 23 of these neglected people groups, meaning we have over 10% of the neglected people groups in Indonesia on one half of one island where we are. Spend yourself. Spend yourself is our our campaign, if you will, for Asia Pacific. Spin Yourself Indonesia is our campaign for my wife and I as we are itinerating this term this year. And so we want to share with you these ideas of spin yourself and that what that means, what that encompasses, how do you play into that? What does God have for you? Spinning yourself is a choice. In Jeremiah 10:23, it says, "My life's not my own, it belongs to you, Lord." Making this choice will cost you something, possibly everything. Like I said, this is my wife's slide, so I'm kind of following through here. Or like trying to think what it'll cost you. So you know, my mentors made this quote. Oops, we're not at the quote yet. Okay, Isaiah, let's go ahead and go to Isaiah 58:10. This is exciting, Pastor. You get the crazy missionary that doesn't know what he's talking about. All right. Isaiah 58:10 says, "And if you spin yourself in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the need of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like noonday." Hopefully the next slide is the one I want. Yes. I love the amplified version of this. I love the way that this is out of the Amplified Bible. It says, "And if you pour out that which you sustain your own life for the hungry and satisfy the need of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in darkness and your obscurity and gloom become like the noonday." You know, all too often we think we spend ourselves by offering our abundance. I have extra, so I give. I give, you know, I've been blessed, so I give. Where, you know, I love this. "And if you pour out that which you sustain your own life for the hungry and satisfy the need of the afflicted." This is something as Americans, we really don't understand. We really can't grasp to pour out that which we sustain our own life with. Let me give you a story. And this is a story that I have a part in, but it's not my story. This is a story of a young girl named Siska. Now, let me set the stage for you. Siska is a young lady that lives very close to us in Palopo. Her house, trying to give an equivalent here. Her house is maybe from the stage size from here over. That's her house. It's up on stilts. It's made out of scrap wood, old tin roof, rusted tin roof, and the walls inside. They have a couple bedrooms that's made off out of burlap sacks that they've opened up, and that's her house. Siska is very poor. Her mom was working in the what they call down bobby fields, which is this big leaf. It's a sweet potato leaf that they feed to the pigs, So she'd go out and work, and Siska, it was the only daughter, and so she was responsible for taking and cooking and cleaning and all this, you know. And she went and that day made up the last of their rice. And when they say rice, they mean last of their food. So pretty much there was some rice and maybe a little vegetables and maybe some tofu that she cooked up. She cooked up the last of it, and what you do in Indonesia is you cook in the morning and you eat it for three meals. So she cooked up the last of her food. Now, from what I gathered, it sounded like there was to be food in the near future, the next day or something. There was supposed to be more food, but for that day, it was all the food they had. And Siska was responsible for cooking this food. She cooks this food, only to have her neighbor, right as she finishes cooking, comes to her door and knocks on her door. Siska answers the door, and she goes, "Do you have any rice? Do you have any food? We are out of food. We are hungry. Do you have any food?" Now, Siska technically doesn't have any more food than what she just cooked up. You know what Siska does? She goes and she gets a piece of paper. She piles all the food she just cooked up and she wraps it up and gives it to the lady. She thinks, "Man, my mom is going to kill me." Now, we find out the story as my wife does mentoring with her, and they were doing a Bible study, and they were talking about a time God provided for her. She was talking about this story about 3 months from the time that they were meeting. It was 3 months before that. And Siska goes on to share the story that she gives us food and she thinks, you know, my mom's going to kill me. Because this her mom would not approve of. Her little brother comes home for lunch and like, "I'm hungry." Siska says, "You're fasting today." You know, and so she's worried about this. It's just mulling in her head. She's like, "What am I going to tell my mom? I gave our food that we didn't really have any food to give. I gave it away. She gave that which sustained her to feed the hungry." Well, she had to leave that later on that afternoon. crazy thing is, when she came home, there was 2 bags of groceries on her doorstep. What Siska didn't know, and it brings me to tears. What she didn't know is that she's telling my wife this story. 3 months beforehand, my wife and I had felt impressed to go to the market. We spent maybe $4. We had a frozen chicken in the freezer, and we went and got some vegetables, and we went to go give it to her, and she wasn't home. So we thought, well, is it going to be safe leaving on the door? But we decided we'd go ahead and leave on the door. Now, Siska doesn't know to this day that that was us that provided that food, but she says, God provided for us. She goes, how I know God provided for us? Because the chicken was still cold. She didn't know it was in my freezer. They don't freeze chicken. They don't understand. She's like, the chicken was cold. God provided. See, Siska was willing to give out of what she didn't have. She was willing to give the very thing that would sustain her life to help the hungry. I was just giving out of my abundance. I sacrificed nothing but a little extra money I could have spent on something else. It really wasn't that big of a sacrifice for me. But what an example of this. And if you pour out that which you sustain your own life for the hungry and satisfy the need of the afflicted. We don't understand what it means to give what we've got. Please don't misunderstand. Maybe there's someone in here that does. And I hope that you do, and you got a story to go with it. But, as Americans as a whole, we don't understand this. See, if you spin yourself... Oh, I'm sorry. This is the quote my mentor said. If spending yourself costs you nothing, then you're just making change. And I think all too often as Christians, we just make change. We take and change a bad life for a good life, and that's great, and we should do that. Those changes should be made in our lives. But you know what? When that life is doing nothing more but being idle and fulfilling our own purpose, as good as it might be, it isn't being spent for the hungry. It isn't being spent for the afflicted. It isn't being spent for those who are on their way to hell. You know what? God has a purpose for our lives, and we are to lay down our lives and take that which sustains us. Whether that's a physical thing, sometimes just our own hobbies, sometimes our own desires is that which sustains us. We need to lay that down for Him. See, the gospel is worth it. Recount the costs, and be willing to spend yourself over and over and over again. It's what the gospel is worth. So many times I hear people, and it drives me nuts when I hear pastors preach this, and I hope your pastor doesn't preach this because I'm going to offend him, but I hate it when pastors say, if you want to be blessed by God, you got to do it. That is stupid. I do not serve God to be blessed. I serve God because He's worth it. I serve Jesus because of who He is and what He's done. I do not serve to receive. I receive. Don't get me wrong. Oh boy, He blesses me. He pours it out. But that's not my purpose, and that cannot be our purpose for spending ourselves. Because if you're doing that, then you're just making change. You're just trading one thing for another. And you know what? God isn't here to make a bartering deal for you. What He wants you to do is you to lay down your life, and He wants to say, look what I can do through you now, and look what I can do for you now, and you are going to be blessed. I can guarantee that, but that cannot be your purpose. He is worth it. So how do I spend myself? How do I take and take my life and spend myself? Well, we can spend ourselves on behalf of the gospel. We can give our obedience. Follow where God leads, plain and simple. There's times, and I guarantee every one of you has heard it. I know you have. There's times that you've heard God tell you go do something that seems so bizarre. And there's sometimes we are faithful to do so, but the majority of the time, honestly, we balk at it. We say, God, is that really you? Come on now. Go talk to that person. Go by, I love the story. I don't know if it's a true story. I've seen it on the internet. The guy that's driving home and he asks God, says, God, use me. And God says, stop and buy a half gallon of milk. He's like, God, buy a half gallon. Okay, I'll buy a half gallon of milk. So he buys a half gallon of milk. And God tells him, go to this address. He goes to this address, and the lights are all off. It's like 9:30 at night. He's like, they're already in bed. I'm going to, you know, there's going to be a problem. And he goes, and as he's going up, and God says, and give these people so much money. And he's like, what, God? Okay, you know. And he's like, is that really you, God? And he goes and does it. Turns out, you know, they had their electricity shut off. They have a kid that needs milk. You know, God can use you in crazy, weird, strange things like that. I can testify. God took this farm boy from Oklahoma that doesn't speak English very well to go to Indonesia, learn a new language where everybody's this tall and very dark. You know, I'm not that, you know, but God can use me to go there. He can use you to go where he leads you, and you got to be willing to go. You got to have dog-eared determination. You want to talk about it, nothing's impossible. Pastor, God's spoken that to me. God's spoken to that to me. Because as I said, our goal is to reach the Bugis tribe. The Bugis tribe has 6 million people. Less than 0.01% are Christian. God asked me, is anything impossible for me? God has placed that for me. I pray for the Bugis in believing. And you know what? I must admit, I doubt. There's times I doubt. 6 million people that are passionate about being Muslim. Can God reach them? Yes, he can. I've got to start living that, and I've got to live that daily. You know what? We've got to have dog-eared determination to follow God where he leads us. Hold on determinedly and work hard in doing what God has put on our hearts. You know what? He's not going to lead you to do something you ain't going to like. Now, you may not think you're going to like it. You might not think that it's going to be something, you know, you're like, what? Indonesia, man. If you told me in high school that I was going to Indonesia, I'd tell you you're crazy. You know, I didn't take Spanish in high school because I thought, I'm American, I only need to speak English. You know, I kind of had that redneckness about me. I regret that now. I'm like, oh, it would be nice to have some foreign language basis to me. But, you know, God has placed us in a position, and he's not going to take you someplace you're not going to fit. Now, whether you embrace it or not, there's a different story. Sometimes people get called to place and they go begrudgingly, well, God's called me to go, so I'll go. And you're never going to get in there. You're never going to get it because you don't embrace it. But God has a plan for you. See, there is no door that Satan can keep shut forever to the gospel. There's no door. He can't do it. It can't be done. It can't be done. See, we can spend our time. We will make time for that, for what is important. We must ask, how important is reaching the lost, really? How important reaching the lost is to us, really? Is it important enough that you're willing to sacrifice some of your time? Or are you willing to say, God, how can I be used? You know, what this is going to take? We can spend ourselves in prayer. See, our prayers are valuable and meant to be spent. Don't keep them in savings. You know, all too often, we hold back. Do you realize we have like the nuclear bomb of spiritual warfare at our fingertips at any moment? We pray and things change. You know what? You can pray here and you will change things around the world. It is like the military airstrike, you know? There are guys on front lines like, hey, we're under heavy fire. We need artillery dropped in at this location on this GPS coordinates. And they are able to drop, and then they'll report back. You hit the target, or you're off 4 degrees this way, and they'll fire again. And you know what? That's what we get to do. Being the missionaries on the front line, we get to send the coordinates back to you guys. Hey, we need y'all praying for this. And then you guys get the report back. You unfortunately don't get to physically see the things happen, but you get the report back of what you're prayers do. That's real good. Unfortunately, all too often our prayers tend to be self-focused. And please don't get me wrong, we need to pray for ourselves. God help me in this. God wants to hear our desires, our needs. But whenever it stops at that, and I am just as guilty of praying for my own personal needs and desires that it gets lost. You know, and it's not that we're praying for bad things. God, I need, my body needs a healing. God, my mom needs a healing. God, my dad needs a healing. You know, that's not a bad thing, and that God wants to hear that. We need to embrace that. That's part of it, but that's not it. That's a part of it. See, how often do we pray for the lost? Man, you know, there was one of the sisters we were talking earlier about our society in this day and age, you know, and how we've come to this point, you know, and the fact of the matter is it's come to this point not because of the world, but because of the church. The church has backed down. The church has got up off their knees and walked along with the world. We need to be on our knees, and we need to be fighting the prince of this world, and we need to stand firm with Jesus Christ in that. See, when we pray, even the least of us become a mighty force in advancing God, the kingdom of God. Man, you know what? It's one of those things. God's army is so cool. There's little grandmas that can kick my tail in spiritual warfare. I tell you what, you know, it doesn't matter how big, how strong, how, you know, God, it's not about our physical, our abilities, but it is about the strength of God in us that rises up and that we're able to go and we're able to fight the enemy and we're able to attack and go full force. Isn't that cool? It puts us all on the same level. And, you know, from the Christian that has been saved from the time they walked out of the womb to the person that just got saved, we are all on the same ground. We have the same ability, and we're able to operate. We're able to push the nuclear bomb weapon on the enemy when we need to. It is there and available for us. See, we can make financial investments. We can give all, we can all give something, even if it's small. And our God has a way of making it great for his kingdom. You know, sometimes I get people that are like, man, I don't have very much money. You know, I really can't do much. I'll pray for you. And that's great. Please don't ever think I discredit someone saying I'll pray for you. But, you know, sometimes we think we can't do enough. You know, there's a story of, does anybody follow basketball? Anybody like basketball? I like basketball a little bit. Let me throw out a name everybody knows. Michael Jordan. Everybody knows Michael Jordan, right? Michael Jordan was a stud, is the man of basketball. He's phenomenal. Well, there's a guy that played on his team. You may or may not have heard of him. His name's Stacey King. Stacey King was a kind of a B player, really solid, but nothing. He wasn't a superstar. Stacey King, in his first time playing, his first game he got in that he actually scored points, and he scored 1 point. He got a free throw. This just so happened that night was the first night that Michael Jordan scored 69 points in the NBA. First time that Michael Jordan ever done that. Well, the reporters afterwards thought they would be, you know, mess with Stacey King a little bit. They're interviewing him. They said, Stacey King, how does it feel to know the night you scored your first points in the NBA, Michael Jordan scored 69? He goes, you know what? I will remember this day as the night that Stacey King and Michael Jordan scored 70 points. See, whether you're able to contribute 1 point to the kingdom of God or 69 points really doesn't matter. The fact is you're on the team. The fact is you are part of that which is happening. You know what? You need to contribute all that you can and all that God has empowered you to do so, whether that's time, money, whatever that is. But it doesn't matter the amount. It matters that you're doing what God's called you to do. So you can spend your life. What if God called you out of the life that you're familiar with, the life you're comfortable with, the life that is safe and secure to do his will? Do you trust him enough to follow him? Do you trust him enough to follow him? Man, you know what? In Indonesia, people are like, they have, you know, one of their big things is they love rice. Indonesia, you have rice 3 times a day. In fact, they don't feel full if they've not eaten rice. Now, I've experienced this. I've gotten to the point where rice was so important to me that, you know, they can't imagine going somewhere, God calling them somewhere where they can't have rice. In fact, there was a big push in the island of Borneo. We call it Kalimantan in Indonesia. But they wanted to have 300 church planters in the Borneo area, in this really dense Christian area. And so the AG was bringing missionaries in there, or bringing pastors in from other islands there. Only problem in that area in Borneo is they don't eat rice. They eat sweet potatoes, or cassava, I guess it is. And there was pastor after pastor after pastor that was planted there and placed there that left because they didn't have rice. You know, we go, wow, rice, really? You know how many people tell me, Tim, I can never go there. I could never go and do what you're doing. And everything with me reserves this, but I want to say, no, you won't ever go do what I'm doing, but you could. You can. You will choose not to. until you change your vocabulary, until you change your mindset. See, you can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Man, like I said, I'm just a farm kid from Oklahoma. You know, I grew up, seriously, you know, as redneck as they come. You know, my first truck was a 79 Chevy pickup, you know. I mean, that's my roots. But you know what? God can take this farm kid from Oklahoma, a town of 75 people nonetheless. 75 people. I moved to a city of 6 million in Indonesia. Talking about culture shock. If God can use a farm kid from Oklahoma, he can use any one of you for anything. See, Acts 20, verse 24 says, "My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God." Man, that's my heart cry. You know what? I'll admit, I'm loving being back in the States. Deer hunting just got fired up. I got my doe on the first, you know. I'm all stoked to go back out. Got my son shooting a bow now, and my wife's deer hunting. You know, my son's playing football. I went to college and played football in college at Trinity Bible College, so that's a passion. I'm loving this stuff, but you know what? This is my heart's cry right here, and if I could, tomorrow I would be on a plane going back to Indonesia to fulfill what God's called me to do. Because this is it right here, people. If our heart isn't this, we need to check ourselves. Because sometimes we get numb. You know what? We had a passion once that said this, but we've kind of gotten numb. Check yourself and find that once again. Spend your life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, the plans for good and not for disasters, to give you a future and a hope There you go. Sorry. I kind of got jumbled again there. So what are we spending ourselves for? We want to see the hand of God move. You know, here's the thing. I would dare to say, if I asked you today, who wants to see the hand of God move, I'd dare to say every one of you would raise your hand. I just have to believe that is our heart and our desire as a church. We, you know, as a people, we want to see God move. We look at our nation and go, what's going on here? I tell you, it has floored me. Since being back in August, I'm like, wow, America is just slipping and slipping more and more. You know, it's sad when I can say I'm happy I'm raising my kids in a Muslim culture where values still exist, modesty still exists. There's if nothing else, it's in a you know, covering. It's kind of a more to save face than anything, but at least they're being, you know, protected from some things. But I dare to say we all have a desire to see God's hand move. The only problem is not many of us are willing to take and do what it's going to take to see God's hand move. We're not willing to be on our knees praying for the lost. We're not willing to be fasting and praying to see God's hand move. We all say, God, move! And then we're like, why hasn't he moved yet? Because we're not willing to spend ourselves. We just want to make change. We want to change our position. We want to change our location. We want to change who we was to who we, you know, God wants us to be, but we don't want to spend ourselves and to see the hand of God move. See, we don't want to spend ourselves to see souls come into the kingdom of God. The gospel is preached to every tribe and nation. We aren't willing to spend ourselves to see that come to place. And that is why we aren't seeing the hand of God move. Until you are willing, until we as a church are willing to spend ourselves, to lay ourselves, take that which sustains us and place it at the altar of God and say, we are going for you. Until that happens, we will continue to see things continue on the path they're going. Plain and simple. It's a harsh thing to hear. It really is. You know, I put the blame on the church not this church necessarily, the church as a whole, because we have a responsibility to play in society, and we've failed to play it. We've failed to be that light to the darkness. Can we show that video real quick? You weren't supposed to see that slide yet. We'll have a quick video. This is put out by Asia Pacific, and hope you enjoy. It's a little video Asia Pacific put out on their promotion. If you want, on my back table, there's one of these little flyers. It's got a little map on it and stuff. So if you'd like, feel free to grab one of these, as well as on the back. The Assemblies of God has put out a 30-day prayer through the Unreached People Groups of Indonesia, or 30 of them at least. Day 27 is the Bugis, and so that's our tribe that's worth reaching. How is God asking you to spin yourself, and what will you do about that? That's your role today. That's your role, to answer that question within yourself. How is God asking you to spend? Is he asking you to spend time praying for us? Spend time praying for Indonesia? Is he asking you to be willing to give? Is he asking you to go? You know, I was sharing with some people earlier, we have desire to bring teams over and be able to bring and train them to come in and be able to go in. And, you know, ultimately you get on the ground. We train you for 2 or 3 days in a evangelism method called NE3. We then teach about culture. And then we would take and place you in a village where you would live without me with a translator while you learn culture from them. That's the premise, was is you would go in to learn about their culture. Now, the whole thing with culture is always connected to religion. And so as you learn about their culture, you get to share about your culture and religion. And so the idea would be to spread seeds. So maybe God's calling you guys to rise up a short-term missions team that'd come over for 2 weeks and be able to work with us in that. You know, what's God calling you to do, and what are you going to do about it? Are you serious enough? Do you love him enough to follow him? That's my challenge for you today. Man, I don't care if he's calling you across the seas or across the streets. Follow him. Follow him to where it is. You know what? We need people in Ottumwa, reaching the people here in Ottumwa. We need people that's going to be living Jesus out here. We need people that's going to be going to Africa, that's going to Asia, that's going to South America. We need people that's going to be a light to the darkness. And he's got a plan for you. What that is between you and God. But I hope that you're obedient, because it's whenever the church is obedient to his will that we will see his hand move. We see his hand move, and we will see this world turned upside down. I encourage you, as you leave this morning, grab, we have 2 prayer cards, one for our family, and then our kids have their own if you'd like, and feel free to pray for us. And like I said, if you didn't get the information to text Connect, talk to me afterwards. So thank you so much. I hope you guys feel God the same way I did. Love you guys.
Thankful for your message and the way you drove home how we're going to spend ourselves. And typically I would preach next week about faith promise, but I think you did a superb job, Brother Tim. And so what I want to do is I want to get some people that would come and help me that are not. David, come on up here. Nora, Layla, come on up here. Come on, Gabe, come on up here. Come on, you kids move quicker than some of us adults, so I need you to move quick. I'm going to, every person in this place today, to answer the question, how are you going to spend yourself for the gospel? In our circle of faith, hey, I'm going to have one. Look at me. You kids, look at me. One of you go on this aisle, one here, one there, one there. And then here. So you're all going to the same aisle. Follow directions. One go there. Let's go. It's the risk you run when you get teenage volunteers. You really got to instruct. Pastor Luke, I'm going to give you some to take up to the balcony. This is very important to me. Pay attention while they pass these out. Every person in this church needs one of these, no matter how old you are or how young you are. In our circle of faith, the way that we really begin to pull people together, to challenge them in the area of what are we going to spend our life on and how are we going to spend ourselves? What is God calling us to spend ourselves on? We issue a faith promise. And what a faith promise is it's a card that you would take. It's not a bill. We don't send you a bill every month. That's not what this is about. This is a tangible piece of paper that would inspire you and encourage you every single day this month to pray. In October, our entire missions convention, and say, God, I believe that you're calling me to do more than just give of my excess. I believe you're calling me to lay down my life for the gospel. What would that look like in my life? To pray and ask God. I want to say something to you. The Bible says don't give compulsively. That's what the Bible says. Don't just give because some preacher gets up there and tells you to give. pray and ask God. And when God speaks, obey God. Don't just send money to every evangelist on television that's selling snake water and tells you to, you know, change your life. In fact, I'd stay away from people like that. But what we are all supposed to do is we're also, and again, we all do give. We pray and we ask, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want to take my life, my resources, and use them for your glory? That's what that faith promise is all about. It's a reminder to do that. And the reason that we ask you to fill that out and to turn that in is because as a missions board, we have the staff, myself, Pastor Lisa, Pastor Luke, Pastor Rebecca, John and Linda Mulliken, and Dean and Andy Fisher. We comprise a board of people from our congregation that then works in the area of missions. Many missionaries are needing much more support as churches have not been able to honor their faith promise to the missionaries. Our church is not experiencing that. We are wanting to do more in the area of missions. And it helps us as we plan and prepare. As you hear from God, you tell us what God spoke to you. You write it down on that faith promise. And that gives us somewhat of a gauge to gauge. Because we don't believe in writing faith checks around here, okay? You don't write the check unless the money's there, okay? That's not faith. That's stupidity. And it's against the law, by the way. So we don't do that. And so that's why we ask you to fill out that faith promise, is to help us in that area. We want to really set the tone in the state and in our section as far as missions is concerned. It's our heart. It's why we're here, man. We love it. We want to lead in this area. And in order to do that, we need your help. So pray, fill that card out. And at the end of the convention, everybody will have the opportunity that's heard from God. Everybody will have the opportunity to turn in the card. And we will then come back together as a missions board and make moves in the area of new support and honoring the support that we've already committed to. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment. I'm just wondering if anybody here this morning, a crowd this large, this many people, just wondering if anybody here would say, Pastor, I need to get my life connected to Jesus. You know, I was inspired by what our brother shared this morning, but right now, it's my own life that's a mess. And I need to get my life right with God. If you're here this morning and that's you, I'm going to count to three in just a moment. And if you would just simply lift up your hand, I want to pray for you. God wants you. He loves you. He wants you to be part of his team. And again, it doesn't matter what you have to offer God. The only thing that's required is your heart. That's the only thing that really matters to God at all. Is not how much money you have in the bank. Not if you went to college or didn't go to college. Not if you're employed or unemployed, or if you're a single mom or a married mother. The only thing that matters to God is, are you willing to give him your life? Your life matters to God. It may not matter to nobody else, and it may not even matter to you right now. But it matters to God. Next question I want to ask is, if you're here this morning and if you would say, Pastor Richard, I feel very impressed by the Holy Spirit, as our brother shared this morning, that it's time for me to step out of my own little world and step into God's world. Stop focusing so much on building my own little kingdom and start focusing on building God's kingdom. When I count to three, if you'd answer yes to either of those questions, I'm going to ask you just to slip up your hand because I want to pray for you. We like to bring people to a place of decision here because decision is what brings motion. Motion is what gets it done, not just amens when the preacher's preaching, but action. In fact, the Bible says faith without corresponding actions is dead. That kind of faith cannot save you. So I'm going to count to three, and if your hand needs to go up, just go ahead and lift it. Are you ready? One. Everybody's understanding what we're talking about right now. Two, three. If your hand needs to go up, just lift it up. I see your hands up there in the balcony. I appreciate your hands up there. Anybody else down here on the main floor? Now, if you have your hand raised, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. If you raised your hand to that first question, Pastor, I really need to get my life right with God. I need to get connected to Jesus. Then I'm going to ask you to do me one more favor. Open up your eyes and look up here at me right now. I see your eyes. I see you too. Is there anybody else? I see you, brother. I see you there in the back. And I want you to know something. God will take you just the way you are. Let's all stand up on our feet. Appreciate those four of you that said, Pastor, I need to really get my life connected with God. And I'm going to ask you to do something, because the Bible does require that we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. It's the formula to salvation. Some people don't like that word formula. There's no formulas in the kingdom of God. They'll say that's not true. Confess your sins, call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. That's a formula that works for every person. And so those of you that opened up your eyes and looked up here and said, Pastor, I need to get my life connected with Christ. What I'm going to ask you to do is what the Bible tells us to do. I'm going to ask you to lift up your hands right now. Every person in this place can do this, but those of you that need Christ in your life right now, you need Jesus. He's the answer to all life's problems. Lift up your hand right now, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer that I want you to pray as your own. Pray this from your heart because it's the condition of your heart that matters right now. Nothing magical about this prayer, but there's something very spectacular about what God's doing in your heart right now. Something special, something supernatural. God is calling you. He's drawing you unto himself through the power of his Spirit. And that is a recipe for life transformation. So let's pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, I offer my life to you. As messed up as it is, as worthless as it may seem, I know that you can change it. And I know that you can use it. And I know that my life in your hands becomes extraordinary. And so I ask you right now, forgive me for my sins and all my silly thoughts. Change my life. Come into my heart and live inside of me. I believe that through your power, and the life that you bring, my life can be different. I won't have to be selfish no more. I won't have to be self-centered anymore. I won't have to be an alcoholic anymore. I won't have to be a drug addict anymore. I can be a new creature. I can walk in the power of the resurrection. And that's what I desire. I confess right now with my mouth that you are my Lord. From this day forward, I'm not going to follow my own desires. I'm going to do my very best to listen to you. I'm going to pray. I'm going to read the word every single day. I'm going to go to church every time the doors are open. And I'm going to offer my life as a living sacrifice. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's go ahead and celebrate a little bit, whether you realize it or not. In heaven, they're throwing a party right now. They're rejoicing. They're clapping.